It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Good Monday morning. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Georgia's state legislature resumes this morning at the state capitol. It is an overwhelmingly Republican body. For instance, in the House, Democrats hold just 61 of 180 seats. But if they all vote together, that's just enough to block passage of constitutional amendments, which require two-thirds majorities. Late last week, I spoke with House Democratic leader Stacey Abrams of Atlanta in her office. The focus was on education and how to pay for it. Leader Abrams, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, Dennis. It is my pleasure.
Governor Deal has said education reform is the centerpiece of what he wants to present to the legislature this session. We've heard about performance pay for teachers. We've also heard about the idea of changing the funding formula so that, to simplify it perhaps a bit too much, the money follows the child. Is this something you can live with?
Money following the child is a nice sentiment, but the question is how much money and which children are we following? Urban children, rural children, poor children, special needs, ESL. We have a range of children whose cost of service is more expensive than a middle-class child in a suburban school system. We talk often about running government like a business. Well, there's no business that thinks that every product costs the exact same to produce. And we have to recognize that the inputs may be more expensive, but the return on investment, if you are willing to put the money behind the children who need it the most, your return on investment is a lower cost of social services and a higher value to the state.
Can you expect, though, suburban Republican lawmakers to sign on to that? And in exchange, do you have anything to offer them? For instance, Democrats not standing in the way of expansion of charters, for instance.
I think the negotiations have to begin once we know what we're talking about. The issue is, do we want to continue a formula or formulary that does not yield the result that we want, or do we actually want to accomplish our ends?
Are there any deal breakers for you in this? For instance, increased access to state money for private schools?
I believe that public schools are the province of the state, and that is what we should pay for. The state should not invest in private schools with public money.
But given the performance that we have seen in Georgia's public schools over the years, particularly the graduation rates, especially among the very kids at risk you're talking about, isn't it time to consider another model?
I think that our first responsibility is to invest in the model we have. Georgia has systematically divested from its public schools. The government's responsibility is not to fund private education. I've served on the board of a private school. We get to cherry pick our kids. We get to decide who we want to serve and who we don't. The fundamental mission of a public school is that every child matters, every child is entitled to an education, and every child can be let in the door. And thus, they should not be subject to losing their resources to groups that get to cherry pick their customers.
Do you have any opposition in principle to another part of the governor's plan, which is performance pay for teachers?
As a business owner, I understand the benefit of merit pay, but merit pay has to be based on metrics that can be met. We don't know what those metrics would be. We don't know that we are willing to invest in the resources necessary to help those teachers. If you're telling a teacher you have to achieve certain performance standards based on a 25-child classroom, but we put 34 children in there, merit pay does not make sense. Until we really understand what this looks like, I wouldn't say hostile, but I'm certainly resistant to the notion of moving towards merit pay if we don't know what merit pay will yield.
But isn't there a huge risk in leaving, particularly when it comes to teachers, leaving the system the way it is? We have teachers quitting in frustration. Turnover is tremendous. A lot of veteran teachers are leaving.
Part of the reason for retirement, for resignation, for frustration is that we have had an erratic approach to how we fund, how we support, and what we expect of our teachers, what we expect of our educators, what we expect of our schools. We keep changing the game and then expecting people to learn the new rules. And so I think it's important for us not to ascribe the wrong motive to the frustration we're hearing from teachers and from other educators. We have to understand what's causing the challenge. You can't just try to solve a problem without understanding what precipitated the problem.
Another education subject, and that is the HOPE scholarship, the HOPE grant. Some of the cuts which you worked on back mm-hmm. during the recession, have now been restored, at least as far as the HOPE grant is concerned, for technical education. After yet another record year for the lottery, are you in a position where you think we should restore some of the cuts to the HOPE scholarship, or can we do that without another source of revenue like casinos?
My approach is that if we decide to move in the direction of gaming, we should invest those new revenue in what I'm calling HOPE 2, which is a need-based program. Georgia's one of a handful of states that does not provide state-funded need-based aid, in part because that's what the HOPE Scholarship was originally designed to be. But we moved away from need-based and towards merit-based, which means we left thousands of kids behind. These are students who, for whom $5,000 can be the difference between whether they complete college or not. And I think that has to be our directive, and that has to be our mission, and that's the place where I'm going to focus my energies.
So would you and the Democratic Caucus say this would be a condition of any support of casino gambling?
Absolutely. I'm going to ask my caucus to stand with me, and we've had these conversations already.
Do you have them all in line?
My job as leader is not to put people in line. My responsibility as leader is to present legislative options and to say, here's the best way for us to serve our constituents together. And to a person, my caucus members have said they agree.
But the question then would be, would need-based aid get all of the pie from casino revenue? Or are you willing to say, okay, we'll take a percentage?
I think that need-based aid should get the bulk of, if not the entirety of revenue. However, I think the secondary investment needs to be in pre-K.
Are you saying, okay, we will not put on any drive to restore the HOPE cuts because of increased revenue to the lottery?
I think the lottery is situated to appropriately fund the HOPE Scholarship as it's currently situated. A number of the kids who
are... A lot of those kids are running into increased costs.
And that's my point. A number of the students who are facing challenges would be benefited by need-based programs. And so the solution to the HOPE deficit is to provide support where it's actually needed. And where it's needed is for those students who need additional funding to stay in school. And that's why focusing those revenues exclusively on that need is critical to me.
This is one area where the Democrats could actually put together enough votes to influence what happens, because you've got a constitutional amendment involved here which takes a two-thirds majority.
It is a good thing that we have 61 members, yes.
Just to be clear then, for you and for the Democrats, need-based funding from casino revenue is a condition of your support for a casino amendment.
It is a critical part of our conversation about casino gambling.
House Democratic Leader Stacey Abrams from Atlanta, thanks so much for being with us.
It is always a pleasure, Dennis.